You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is good? It's your boy Sosa Cremenges, fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus, and your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Locked On Rams podcast. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. On today's episode, me and my guest are going to cover quarterback Jared Goff's strengths and weaknesses. We're going to talk about Sean McVay's scheme and the struggle against the 5-1 defense alignment in 2019. And we're going to talk about how the Rams can get back on track in their passing attack this season. So my guest is a noted quarterback guru, a fellow Canadian, my colleague and PFF's very own football college football analyst, Seth Galina. Seth, how are you? Funny story, this is our second time actually recording because I am not a genius, that's for sure. But appreciate you hopping on for the second time, Seth. We're going to start out the episode and we're just going to talk about quarterback Jared Goff. We're going to highlight some of his strengths and weaknesses and just really what you've picked up kind of from watching him over the last few years, and in particular, maybe 2018 and 2019. And so a lot of what the Rams do is obviously play action based, and you know, they like to work that outside zone running game, and a lot of what they do offensively is just based off of that in terms of making everything mesh and look similar in terms of their concepts. And so when the outside zone running game kind of faltered and didn't work properly in 2019, their passing game essentially took a step back as well. And, you know, their whole offense kind of felt that loss, so to speak. And so when you watched Jared Goff and the Rams offense in general last season, what did you think just some of his strengths and then some of his weaknesses were?
So, yeah, obviously when everything is clicking around him, the offensive line is protecting him and being, you know, maulers in the run game, and the running back is fresh like it was in 2018, then obviously you can get very good play out of Goff. Now, once that changes like it did in 2019, the interior of the offensive line was shaky. You know, Todd Gurley, who I really like, just, you know, fell apart, unfortunately. Now Goff has to drop back and be that type of quarterback, and they can't use the play action game as well because they're not leading in games. He's got to be a straight drop back passer. And when I watch him as a drop back passer, you just see it on like a play by play basis, the inconsistency. And certainly that's the case for all, you know, throughout all positions in all sports. Like, the great ones are consistent play in, play out. There's obviously a lot of talent with Goff, but when I think about him, I think about one route or one throw in particular, and that's the outside breaking out route at about, you know, 8 to 10 yards, or the corner route at about the same depth. And he's a guy who throws some of the prettiest balls in those situations, and I'm thinking about one to, I believe, Robert Woods on the Thursday nighter in Seattle. That I think Woods maybe stepped out of bounds or he dropped the ball, but it's such a beautiful throw to the sideline. And there's another one against Baltimore. Beautiful throw. I think it's Woods again. Beautiful throw to the sideline on a little deeper corner route this time. Like, you're like, wow, like this guy is just – he's got all the talent, all the tools there. And then in those two games, you know, Baltimore at home and at Seattle – he throws the ball on the same route too far inside. He doesn't bait the corner as much as he should have. In fact, the corner baits him both times, Marcus Peters, and I forget who the cornerback was in Seattle, and they pick him off. And it's like, man, it's all there for him, but you can't make – it's the NFL. Like, you got to play – you got to be on top of your game, play in, play out, and that's just not the case for Goff right now, especially – when he has to be a drop back passer. And like I said, though, that specific route, that throw is such a microcosm of what he is just like the it's there for him. All he's got to do is put it to the sideline. He misses too far in, and the quarterback makes the play. I also think he missed a few open receivers over the middle of the field this year that maybe he didn't miss as much last year. But again, that goes into you're in worse situations. You know, now it's not third and four, it's third and ten, and all that stuff. And I think there's a path for him. And you know, once every 2-3 years, once every 4 years, I think you'll get a solid season out of Goff, even with a bad supporting cast, because I think that he can put it together for stretches.
Mm-hmm.
But to pay all that money for a guy who you're not sure if he's going to put it together, play in, play out, is pretty rough.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the inconsistencies, because you know we've seen a high level of play from Goff. You know, in 2018 and even 2017, and I mean in spades here and there in 2019 too. But it's the inconsistencies that make it kind of a tough pill to swallow in terms of his contract and everything. And so obviously, you know, that's not exactly his fault. He's going to sign whatever was put in front of him in terms of, you know, making him the highest guaranteed money ever in the NFL. And so with that being said, obviously, more is going to fall on his shoulders. Just financially, you're not allowed the same salary cap space to re-sign certain guys. And so, you know, the Rams had to let go of a really good offensive lineman like Roger Saffold. And ultimately, they had to get rid of center John Sullivan as well. And so, like you said, we've seen the running game falter most likely because of that and some other things too. But, you know, the interior offensive line just did not play well. And I feel like obviously some of that has to do with the whole dynamic of paying Goff and everything like that. But with that being said, do you think that pressure affects him more than most guys in terms of we've seen him in structure and when everything is, you know, lined up and working in unison, working well, and he can kind of get in a rhythm. And then, like, it's just not that pretty when, you know, he's got defenders bearing down on him in terms of pressure, and he's kind of got to move out of the pocket and create out of structure. Do you think that that dynamic there affects him probably more than most quarterbacks?
I could tell you if it specifically affects him more than others. I will tell you that, you know, coming out of Cal, one of the things that I remember, and I didn't scout him that much, but one of the things that I remember was he was taking licks like all the time at Cal, running that those RPOs and free defenders all around him, you know, spread out air raid tight system. He was taking mm-hmm. shots all the time. And we said, wow, look at this guy. He's, you know, in the face of danger, throwing bullets and stuff like that. And he goes first overall. I think what really was going on there is just he probably just had maybe an unsustainable year in the face of pressure, and it's kind of come back down to earth. So I don't know mm-hmm. if it's like necessarily him. But, and you tweeted this out today, the Rams just allowed so much more pressure. So all of a sudden, like, you know, if you're – I'm not sure what the difference was. I know they were according to you, second to last in the league in terms of total amounts of mm-hmm. of pressure snaps. So I don't know, you know, we can look at what the difference is, but if you're adding 50 more pressures over one season, like no quarterback is going to be, you know, no quarterback is better when there's pressure on him, maybe save for Russell Wilson. So it's like, mm-hmm. it's like you can't live in this world where you're allowing so much more pressure than on a year-to-year basis. Now you could argue maybe he's got to learn it better, and he's got to like check the protection better. That I couldn't tell you. Obviously, when I watch, you know, the older quarterbacks, they're doing that. But it's that, you know, Drew Brees does it all the time. But Drew Brees also plays with, you know, a great offensive line in front of him, like individually. So mm-hmm. I don't know if he's just not as good under pressure. But I do know that the Rams solidifying an offensive line will do wonders just so that he doesn't have to play under pressure as much. Now, the one thing I'll say, like, when he is clean, I would like to see more, let's say, creativity to his game. So if I go back to the examples I used about the two interceptions on the corner routes. So mm-hmm. I believe in both cases, the defenses are in some sort of cover two. So the corner is low and the safety is high in zone. And both concepts that the Rams call are probably the variations of smash concepts. So you have some route that's going to run into the flat low, take care of the corner. And then you have the corner route that's going to be run to the outside, to the sideline against a safety who's inside leverage, right? So you have that, you can throw the ball to the sideline, the safety is inside of it, he can't make a play. So what happened on both those plays were, we're talking about NFL cornerbacks here, so they're reading Goff as much as he's reading them. So when they see him stare down that corner route, yeah, they're going to start, he's reading, Goff is reading the cornerback, and the cornerback stays low, but his eyes are on Goff. And once Goff never comes off of that corner route, they're gone, and they come underneath the ball, and they make a play. Now, of course, Goff puts it on the sideline. They can't make that play. But I want to see more creativity in the way he uses his eyes and uses his shoulders to manipulate those defenders into sticking on that route. Sorry, sticking on the low route so he can fire the ball on top of them to the corner route. And that carries true for a lot of different route concepts. But again, that I whenever I think about this guy, I think about him throwing the most beautiful corner routes and also the most awful corner routes as well. So I think that what I would like to see is that a little more creativity. He's going to now his fifth year now. Am I crazy to say that?
No, I think you're right. Yeah,
fifth year. So like that's the type of stuff that you want to put together. You don't want to see him be as robotic as he's been in the past. And I think then you can see some better play out of him.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I think, even just watching back for the past 4 or 5 years now, I can't think off the top of my head when I really ever seen Jared Goff pump fake or I mean? Where you see guys like Nick Foles, for example, who utilize that pump fake like crazy. And like you said, when you get to manipulate a defender, you're kind of, setting up what your next move is in terms of, giving himself a bigger window of error and a bigger window of where he could put that ball on that corner route instead of having, that corner sink deeper into that coverage there. But
I think that's a good point of you talking about margin of error because, he threw that, like the two interceptions, again, we keep going back to the same play, but the two interceptions, he threw them at a spot where the receiver could turn and catch it, but the cornerback comes off and makes a play because the ball is so far inside and Goff doesn't hold him. So he can create. So even if he misses inside like he does, if he's done his due diligence and created that opportunity, that window, kept that window open for a longer time. Like you said, now he has that margin of error where, yes, he can miss because you're going to miss sometimes. But he can still get a completion out of it or at least not an interception.
Yeah, that's definitely, I think, the next step for him in terms of, just being more consistent and kind of buying himself more space to make mistakes. Because like you said, these are high-level athletes and these cornerbacks are getting paid a whole lot of money to make plays on the ball too. And so that's going to probably be the next progression if he ever takes that step. But coming up in just a moment, Seth and I are going to discuss Sean McVay's scheme and the 11 and 12 personnel adjustments he deployed last season. All of it is going to be on the next segment of the Locked On Rams podcast. And while we've got you, come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QB's MVP. You can find the page at Locked On Rams, and you can find Seth at PFF_Seth. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game, every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. So in the last segment, I teased some of those adjustments that head coach Sean McVay made for the offense in 2019. And so I pulled some of the PFF numbers, which, by the way, are fantastic, that just kind of helped display how different the offense was from, you know, the first 10 weeks, from weeks 1 to 10, and then from weeks 11 to 17, basically onwards for the rest of the season. And so for those first 10 weeks, the Rams ran 11 personnel about 81% of the time. That ranked second in the NFL. And they ran 12 personnel only 10.9% of the time, which ranked 29th. So there was quite, you know, a large discrepancy in their 11 and 12 personnel usages. Looking at the latter half of the season, the weeks 11 through 17, the team actually ran 11 personnel only 61.3% of the time, which ranked 16th in the league, which was exactly dead average. And then they ran 12 personnel 35.6% of the time, and that ranked third in the NFL. So obviously, you know, they hiked up a ton of their usage when it comes to the 12 personnel. And some of that can be explained due to personnel issues in terms of, you know, receiver injuries. Brandon Cooks got hurt at one point. He was kind of knocked out for a little bit. And then the offensive line kind of had, I mean, was really jumbled the whole time throughout the whole season, really. There was a lot of different guys starting at a lot of different positions there. There was even midseason trades that, you know, where guys were coming over midseason and starting about a week or two later in Austin Corbin. So the change in personnel kind of exemplified some, you know, some hope in terms of getting the offense back on track, because like we mentioned earlier, the outside zone running game just wasn't working those first 10 weeks. And not only that, but like we mentioned again, Jared Goff was getting pressured and hurried a ton. And so that change in philosophy was interesting. But when you watch Sean McVay's scheme from 2019 and, you know, all these different changes that he had deployed from the first and second half of the season, what do you think went wrong? Do you think that the 5-1 defense that, you know, you actually highlighted on Twitter very early in the season, I believe it was roughly around week three, when the Rams played with Cleveland Browns, do you think that that was that detrimental to their outside base rushing game? And so the Rams really had no choice but to kind of, you know, adjust how they were going to attack defenses?
Well, so that type of defense that the Rams started to see, I think the dilemma here is fascinating, because there are, like you said, very heavy outside zone. Some people call it wide zone offense. I think they led the league the past, you know, since Sean McVay's been there. I'm pretty sure they lead the league every year. So what you do on defense is to stop a zone team, especially an outside zone team, guys on the line of scrimmage in the gap, and you're saying, okay, we're going to penetrate super hard, and we're essentially trying to catch the running back before he's ready to make his cut. So outside zone or wide zone works often when the running back takes his five steps, sometimes it's three, depends on the coach. And then he makes his decision where he is going to stay front side, he's going to cut it back all the way to the middle, et cetera, et cetera. So if you can get that type of penetration and stop the running back in his tracks, then you are, you know, you're giving yourself a shot there. So the problem with the Rams is that, you know, when you look at Kyle Shanahan's offense in San Francisco, and obviously they, it's very similar. They're coached together. They run the same, you know, they have the same philosophy, let's say, on offense. One of the differences with the way the Rams line up formationally, as opposed to necessarily personnel-wise, because 11 and 12 personnel, they probably will line up very similarly formationally, the Rams, while the 49ers, when they have a fullback on the field, it allows them to be a little more diverse in their run game. So you can't really do that to the 49ers, what the Rams are seeing, because then they'll trap you, they'll power you, they'll counter you to death, because they have a little more versatility based on the fact that they play with a fullback and some other stuff on the field. So that's kind of always going to be McVay's problem, as long as they don't kind of change up their formations, I would say. Now, with that said, it's not like this is the first time anyone's ever seen an outside zone from a, you know, a single back set. It worked pretty well in 2018, you know, and that was their second year, you know, in the system with a lot of the same guys. So it does kind of go back to, well, you know, if you can block those guys, yeah, I don't care how many guys you have on the line of scrimmage, right? Like, we're going to – we block them, we'll move them, and we'll gain some yards. And I think that's probably, you know, all the changes, Austin Corbett coming in and starting right away, like, that's tough for, mm-hmm. for a running game that, you know, uses timing and stuff like that, everyone getting off the ball at the same time. So I think – And I don't know if we'll see McVay do that much change up to the formations. Now, in the Saints game, which I believe was week two or week three, they saw the Saints running that defense and they started getting quickly to the outside more. So with some crack sweeps. So now if you have everyone down on the line of scrimmage on defense, you don't have as many flowing off the ball linebackers, so you can get outside quicker. And you mentioned this to me off air, that they ran a lot of quick screen passes to the receivers. So again, well, if you don't have a lot of guys that can run sideline to sideline, let's get the ball to the sideline really quickly on a crack sweep, on a receiver screen, and let's start going here. So I mm-hmm. think that those are the type of adjustments that I think we'll see. Rather than, I think he'd love to be an 11 personnel, because the thing with the Rams is, like, you know, their 11 personnel with Cooper Kupp is like a pseudo 12 personnel because he's such a robust player. So I think they would rather be in 11 personnel like that and run their same stuff, and then just be more sound in terms of not sound, but sturdy up front, so they can push people around more.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree there in terms of, you know, McVay felt like he was kind of getting out of what he preferred to do last season when he started to kind of call more gap scheme running plays and more duo and was just running more 12 personnel. And it just felt more reserved as opposed to how he really likes to run his offense, which, you know, we've seen just how good it can look even in personnel, 11 personnel, like in 2018. I don't got the numbers in front of me now, but the Rams ranked first in 11 personnel usage, and it was extremely high. It was like 97% of the time or something. And so it's a far cry in terms of changing the alignments and changing the personnel usage and the deployments and everything, and like just the kind of plays you're running, and versus when, you know, you can run the same things, but it doesn't really matter because of just how talented your team is and just how good at, you know, those certain plays that they are. And I feel like that was one of the main differences definitely in 2018 compared to 2019, was that, you know, teams, I'm pretty sure, you know, defensive coordinators are pretty smart people. They knew likely what was coming in 2018, the outside zone scheme, and, you know, that running based offense is nothing new. This has been around ever since, like you mentioned, on our first air that I didn't record, since Mike Shanahan, right? And so he comes from that Shanahan tree, and, you know, they've been doing this forever, and we've seen that zone based running offense succeeded with so many different running backs and so many different places and so many different variations of offenses. And so it's not as if, you know, we haven't seen McVay put, you know, his scheme together and put a strong one together. And, you know, the Rams did rank top five in offense in 2017 and 2018, and it was only last year where they took that step back. And, you know, largely the biggest difference I would say was just the play of the offensive line, really. And so getting back to a spot where the offensive line can create holes in the running game, and then, you know, the passing game can kind of stem off of that and work off of that. And not just that, but give Jared Goff, a guy who lacks a lot of mobility and creativity, more time to work and go through his progressions and things, is going to be of the utmost importance and their easiest way to kind of get back to playing what we think we know about Sean McVay's offense and kind of replicating that 2018 team. But coming up when we return, Seth and I will discuss the Rams' passing attack and in which concepts they perform at optimal levels. Make sure to check back tomorrow for Friday's episode when I answer all of your questions on the Fan Mail Friday edition of the Locked On Rams podcast. Welcome back to the final segment of today's show. Like I mentioned before the break, we're going to kind of highlight some of the Rams' passing attack here. And so we kind of delved into that a little bit in the beginning and even touched upon it in the last segment as well. Which makes sense because everything is cohesive, like we mentioned, and everything works together in this offense. And so when you watch Jared Goff just over the last, you know, two seasons even, are there any concepts, and you touched, you know, based on this a little bit in the beginning there, are there any concepts that you'd like to highlight in terms of just, you know, the things that McVay and the offense run very well and maybe even any in particular that they struggle with?
Well, I think, you know, you talk about the cohesiveness from their running game to their passing game, and that's something that a lot of teams talk about doing, but not a lot of teams actually do. And the Rams are probably, you know, with him and Shanahan and maybe the Saints and the Patriots, like, those are the teams that are actually doing it. And I think it's really interesting, you know, not to go back to the running game discussion for too long, but if you'll recall in 2018 when CJ Anderson came in and actually ran the ball pretty well, and everyone said, well, it doesn't really matter who your running back is. Mm-hmm. So what I remember happening, and I'm pretty sure I got this from everyone's best friend, all 22 BETZ vets, was, you know, they moved to a duo, like you said, a duo type of running scheme, which is a more vertical, straightforward, you know, power type of scheme. And yeah, okay, the running game was fine. And that goes back to what we were talking about where the offensive line was better that year. So, of course, the running game is going to be fine, probably no matter what scheme you run. Mm-hmm. But what the problem was is now you don't have all the complements in the passing game that you do when you're running that outside zone with Todd Gurley. And that's, you know, the outside zone is not a play that CJ Anderson is going to be running. He's not that type of running back. Mm-hmm. The Rams, obviously, even without Gurley going into 2020, have those type of running backs now. So that, for me, is the biggest thing when I think about the Rams passing game, is all the complements and the cohesion they have from that outside zone style that they do. And it's really, I think it's one of my favorite offenses to watch. And, you know, the Rams fans will know, like, every time they see Goff, you know, stick the ball out and they stretch everything to the sideline, stick the ball out, then he pulls it, then he boots. They get a lot of plays out of that, man. They get a ton of yardage out of those type of plays. And it's all built around what we'd call like series progression play calling. So I'm going to show you. And the main thing, the main person that I think they're trying to put in a bind is the weak side linebacker. So the linebacker, not necessarily the will linebacker, but the linebacker who is on the backside of the play. So if I'm running, you know, the linebacker who has to chase the play from the backside. So now he sees that outside zone and the offensive line is turning and they're running and the running back is on that outside zone path, you know, to the tight end. He's got to go. Like, if I'm the weak side linebacker, I got the cutback, I got to go, man. I can't just, you know what I mean? I can't just stay and wait. Oh, what play is it? I don't even know. Like, I got to go. Right. And then they pull the ball. And they have a crossing route from one side of the field that's going over my head if I'm the linebacker and coming across the opposite sideline where Goff is booting to. So now it's like I can't just stay and look at Goff and try and be in a zone and like, that's not going to cut it. You got to turn your back. You got to go find that damn receiver and you got to go cover him across the field. That's a technique that's called roboting. Like, so, all right, cool. I got to go do that. That's great. And then you turn your back. You're thinking, I got him. Guys, I got him. He's yelling at the safety. I got him. Don't worry about it. And then what they do is they throw a damn screen pass while your back is turned and they're getting 10 yards. So like that type of stuff all plays into that outside zone scheme. So like them going to, it's not like you can't run play action off the other type of schemes, but it really feels like, you know, we watched the San Francisco go to the Super Bowl in 2019. We saw the Rams go to the Super Bowl in 2018. We saw Ryan Tannehill have a career year off that stuff last year. With a McVay disciple, kind of like an indirect McVay disciple in Arthur Smith, was OC in Tennessee. So like that's the good stuff right there. So if you can't run that, and like I said, later in the year in 2018, going to the Super Bowl, if you have to change it up and you can't run all your complements off of those that outside zone, wide zone scheme, you're gonna have problems if your quarterback, and we talked about this already, if your quarterback is not that good in the straight drop back game. So I think that all that's the fun thing about this offense is that it all plays into, it boils down to like almost one singular play that really makes the whole thing go. That really props up quarterbacks like Jared Goff, like Jimmy Garoppolo, like Matt Schaub, like John Elway, like Kirk Cousins in Washington. You know what I mean? Like it just so it's fascinating to look at it like that. And they just and I also find McVay has a lot of good besides though, you know, so that series of play calling that I mentioned with the wide zone, throwing the crosser and then the screen. I mean, they do it with just the routes themselves. So like there's usually a corner route, you know, like Brandon Cooks, I think ran this a lot. So like Brandon Cooks is going to run the corner route to get that corner back deep down the field so that the crossing route can run underneath it. Mm-hmm. They're going to go, oh yeah. Now that the safety thinks, oh, you know what? I don't need to cover that corner route because it's going to my corner back. The safety jumps on that crossing route. You know, calling nailing down on the route. And then Brandon Cooks or Josh Reynolds against Chicago last year puts his foot in the ground, corner post, wide open touchdown. Like it's all sorts of stuff like that. And against Cleveland last year, Cleveland said, okay, we're going to play off. We're just going to play off with our corners and our safeties. We're going to let every route combination happen in front of us. And then we're going to be able to pick it up. And McVay said, yeah, that's fine. Brandon Cooks, down the field, super speed, slams on the brakes, runs a comeback. You can't cover it. You're too off. Mm-hmm. You know. So like I think McVay does a lot of good things like that. But again, it goes back to the same thing. If that play action game's not working, if that running game's not working, then everything else kind of gets bogged down.
I think you broke it down pretty much beautifully there. Can't really ask for a better breakdown than that. One random thing that just comes to my mind every now and again, and you know, you see a lot of teams that do run these heavy, like outside zone based running games and just offenses. But for some reason, the Rams just don't do it is, installing like a tight end throwback play. And you see it, you know, you've seen it in Shanahan's offense. You've seen it in, whoever was offensive coordinator, regardless of which one in Atlanta. And for some reason, I feel like the Rams should like kind of throw in some deception and things like that, but for some reason, yeah, they just refuse to run any kind of tight end throwback, and I've kind of been begging them to do it for a few seasons now, because I think when you can get that heavy boot action going one way and that heavy play fake, you can kind of just squirt out that tight end backside with all the linebackers kind of stepping forward and not really paying attention, and you usually hit them for a big gain on those plays, but that's just a random little quirk that I've picked up over the last few years that I've been just waiting for them to run, and I'm hoping that having a new and a legitimate offensive coordinator this year and Kevin O'Connell, that, you know, they start to return to the offense that we resembled in 2018, because the Rams didn't have a real offensive coordinator, only by title in 2019. And I think, you know, you've seen pretty much the whole offense kind of falter. And I don't want to necessarily say it was all on that. Of course, at the end of the day, the players need to execute, but they started to lose that attention to detail, and you could see McVay kind of getting away from the run and things, because he is one of the coaches that does call plays during the game. And so, you know, I'm sure there's a million things running through a coach's head on game days. At times, I'm sure they kind of forget what, you know, they intended to do potentially before the game started, in terms of, you know, maybe I should run the ball more often. And that's been a common complaint amongst Rams fans, and, you know, myself included, is that they've gotten away from running the ball a little bit too often over the last few years. But, Seth, man, thanks for hopping on. You killed it. Fans, make sure to check back in with us on Friday. You can hear me answer your questions that you're submitting for this week's edition of the Fan Mail Friday episode. And just a reminder, come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QBsMVP. You can find Seth at PFF_Seth. And you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe and follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.